Welcome, everybody. This is Freedom Fiends Live. It is May 18th, a Saturday. My name is Dima Vedati. I'm broadcasting straight from the ATX. That's Austin, Texas. Don't get it twisted. And on the other end of the interwebs, who do we have?
This is Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed undisclosed location in the rural occupied states of America in Wyoming.
Talking is hard.
Yeah, that was the Freedom Fiends come out and play. The homage to that movie. I was not using Coke bottles. I'm using 5-ounce chunks of silver.
Chunks of silver. Yeah. Although it's not chunks. It's like neatly pressed into bars, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. I'd like to get a hold of like some raw silver. Does it come in nuggets like gold?
I'm sure it does.
Silver come?
I want a bracelet made of Reardon steel. I watched Atlas Shrugged Part 2 yesterday, and it is much better than Atlas Shrugged Part 1. I'm one of the few libertarians that never read that book. Well, you didn't read it either. You read it and threw it against the wall after 100 pages like me,
well,
didn't you?
No. I read about half of Atlas Shrugged, and it was my bathroom reading, so I kept it in front of the turlet, and one day my cat came and took a dump on it. So I did throw it away, and
Thank you for sharing.
Planning on reading the rest of it, but I never did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the Randian ideas have already moved through society and been digested and regurgitated, and humanity has taken what was good from them, the nutrients, and excremented the rest, you know?
Yeah, I like I like that she sticks up for business and says there shouldn't be regulation in it and says that tyranny is square. Well, she doesn't say that. We say that. She implies it. I like the word that she uses for tax eaters. She calls them looters.
And looters.
Looters, yeah, is a great word. I think we should use that. But I have a bunch of problems with Rand. One is, like, I don't have any moral problem with being absolutely only caring about yourself and not being charitable at all. I think that's fine. But it's kind of distasteful to me. I mean, I'm not rich, and I'm kind of charitable. And, she's really, really rich, and her characters are really rich. I mean, she's really proud that they're not charitable, and they only think for themselves. I just find it kind of distasteful.
Yeah, and I guess to me, it's like, you shouldn't, just because something is bad when the government does it, like welfare and things like that, doesn't mean it's bad when somebody does it voluntarily.
Yeah.
When somebody, a private citizen, does it, you should embrace it. I mean, I don't think you should, but you can. You don't have to find it as distasteful as when somebody gets a welfare check, you know? If you are to have a reduced state or a non-state, there has to be people who are filling those gaps. And I think proving that people are willing to do that and happy to do that, at least some people, voluntarily, I mean, that's part of reducing the market share of the state.
Yeah, a lot of people take an all or none attitude toward what they like and what they don't, and will dislike something people they think are the opposite of them don't like. Or do like, just, you know, like, for instance, right wingers. I've heard right wingers yelling about, like, bicycles are stupid and those are for hippies because left wingers tend to like them. You know, left wingers are wrong on almost everything, but bicycles are cool, man. I was a bike messenger for years and I rode a bicycle a lot, and even when I had a car, and we have a car and I ride a bicycle when I don't have to go very far. It's good for you. It's good for the environment. Oh, that's another thing. Like, caring about the environment. Okay, I can see not digging stupid nanny regulations that declare a mud puddle in your backyard an aquatic sanctuary, and then, like, they steal your land.
Right.
That's horrible. But the environment's cool. I like nature. I like clean air. I live in Wyoming. There's a lot of clean air here, you know?
Well, hey, you know, I mean, if you believe in property rights, then you believe that if somebody else pollutes your property or degrades parts of your property, then they're liable for it. Now, that's a property rights situation. You don't have to have an EPA or collective regulations. And to me, what it boils down to is you have to recognize where there's collectivism and where there's a lack of voluntarism. And I don't know. I think you're right about the bicycle analogy. And you also see people saying things like, I saw a meme on Facebook today, like, we're Americans, we eat meat, we drink beer. And to me, it's just kind of like collectivist. You know, that's just as collectivist as being in the Soviet Union and being Joseph Stalin saying, we are workers, we will all, you know, give everything to each other for their needs and stuff like that. It's still collectives. Yep. You know, you could say, hey, this is America. Some people like to drink beer and some people like to eat meat. And if that's your bag, go for it, man. That's all good.
I love red raw meat and I haven't had a drink since 1994. Does that mean I'm not a good American?
Exactly. Exactly. Everybody's different. And if you want to avoid factory farmed meat, then that's well within your right. I don't think that makes you any less American, you know?
But just because I don't drink beer doesn't mean I don't think other people should drink beer. But I don't allow beer on my property because I don't like being around it and it's a temptation for me. Although I let you drink a beer once on my property, but you weren't chugging it and being a drunk with it. You were like sipping a 20 ouncer over like a 12 hour period of time or something. So it didn't make me go like, oh, there's a drunk guy in my house. It was just, you know, it was a hot day. We were working on the Guns and Weed movie.
Right.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
I guess my thing is I'm not concerned with what other people do to their own bodies and their own lives because I'm too busy being concerned about me. And I think it's problematic when people are so concerned with what other people might be doing, and they might be doing something that you don't do. And oh my God, they're smoking pot and drinking beer and stripping on the stripper pole. I mean, relax, guy. If that's their thing, leave them alone. Focus on you. Focus on your getting money and your raising your family. That's your job.
Yeah, another collectivism thing that really bums me out, you know, of people who think, oh, those collectivist liberals are horrible. And those collectivist liberals are horrible. But it's also, there's a lot of right wingers who, you know, right wingers, conservatives, pseudo conservatives, I'd say, who are really
rhinos,
really pro war. They want to just bomb everything back to the Stone Age just because there's like a few people in that country. I mean, if you took that tack, America has a few bad people in it too. But I really get disgusted when I see a comment about Palestine or some country in the Middle East and people are like, bomb them back to the Stone Age. And a lot of times they're Christians. And I'm like, who would Jesus drone? You know, it's not a very Christian attitude to want to bomb the Holy Land back to the Stone Age.
Mm, very good point. And there's been a lot of good journalism and work on the Christian community in Iraq, which has basically all but disappeared. You know, they've left, they've fled. I'm sure some of them have been killed as civilians through no fault of their own, just because they were there. And that's kind of the original Christian population, or at least one of them, been there for like 2,000 years. Like those people, they very likely could have met Jesus, their ancestors. And how ridiculous is it for you to just take this wanton attitude of destruction towards a place that they live? It's just, I mean, I don't know how hypocritical you can be, but that's definitely up there reaching the threshold.
Yeah. So back to Ayn Rand. Another thing, that a fault that I find with that book is she's very into the individual, which is great. I mean, that's what the Freedom Fiends are. We believe in the right. And we like, this is a quote from her, we stick up for the smallest minority, the individual. But she also really falls into the great man fallacy, because John Galt is like a god, like a mythical creature that everyone keeps evoking the name of as a curse and as a praise until they meet him. And then it's even, you know, he is the god in that. But I see that as a contradiction, but I really recommend watching Atlas Shrugged Part 2. It's very interesting. They completely replaced every actor from number one. You know, the same characters, different actor, which is kind of weird. And they cut out a bunch of really key scenes to make it like Hollywood length. Like it's about 2 hours long, and there's about 25 minutes of deleted scenes on the DVD, and about 20 of them kind of needed to be there because I didn't read the book. And I was missing chunks of stuff and having to pause it and have my wife, who'd read the book, explain it to me. And then we watched the DVD extras and I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense now. And that's kind of a problem of the Hollywood market.
Yeah.
Is that it's basically because of movie theaters. They don't like movies that are longer than 2 hours because it reduces the number of showings they can have a day. And that's kind of an old, old methodology. And most people don't even watch a movie in the theater anymore. I mean, of the millions of people who've seen that movie, probably way less than a million saw it in the theaters. It didn't do that well in the theaters, but it's doing really well on DVD and streaming and stuff. But yeah, man, get your business models out of the beholden,
out of the Stone Age.
The beholdenness to the golden Stone Age of cinema. Yeah, man. Right. Yeah. Make the movie the length it needs to be. Speaking of movies, there was a great review I saw of my Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, which is a DVD that we highly recommend that I made with Jared Waltz, which is on Amazon, but you can also download it free on the Fiends torrent link without breaking the law, because we're allowing you to do it. If you go to the Freedom Fiend site, that's Freedom Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra.com, freedomfiends.com, and click on the Torrent Club link at the top. You can get all our episodes. You can share them via BitTorrent to keep us drone proof and download our movies, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. My movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, my movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, and my how-to video on gun training called Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. And there was a great review of it that said, this explains gun safety and gun training so well. It's like Mr. Rogers' gun neighborhood. I really like that. That was a really favorable review. Although whoever wrote it thought I was the guy in it. No, I'm the guy who produced it, and I did do some writing in it. But Jared Waltz is the really knowledgeable gun guy in it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now back to the great man theory in Atlas Shrugged. Again, I didn't see it, so I can't really comment from that level.
Well, it's in the book too.
Yeah, well, I didn't read the second half of the book. I never got to meet John Galt in my reading of it. But when you say he's a great man, see, I think there is room for people to have heroes and not necessarily to follow them blindly. But I think there's room for people to respect people who do great things. You know, I think it's that blind allegiance or expecting one person to save the world where the problem starts.
Yeah, that's what my wife said when I said that it was a contradiction that there's the great man in it, because she said, well, basically what you said, you know, that there's room for heroes. And I guess there are. I don't really like the word hero. I think hero is creating a great man, which is always setting you up for a couple problems. One is it's setting you up for failure, because no great man will ever meet all your expectations. To which, you know, when I was a little kid and I'd say to my mother, like, I'm perfect, just to be a little, you know, snit, she'd grab my hand. She'd grab my hand and look for holes in my hand and say, I don't see any holes in your hand. You know, so she was saying there's only one great man and it's Jesus, and saying that I was the great man. I was pretending to be a great man and I couldn't be, because there's only one. Now, when people make a great man of government, as Ben Stone says, they are kicking God off the throne. So if you are strongly religious, you should examine your worship of government, because it's pretty inconsistent with believing in an almighty God. Believing the government is, you know, godlike. It's a problem.
Right.
It's a problem.
And I think there's a big distinction between government authority and the government great man versus a natural authority. And I think we can touch on that here in just a minute. We're about to go to the market, so stay with us, folks.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back, just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. Get the app by searching Jane-Ome on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ome.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Welcome back to Freedom Fiends Live. My name is Nima Vidotti, coming to you straight from Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean over there in Wyoming. How's it going, Michael?
It's excellent.
So I just wanted to make
groovy.
Groovy. Speaking of groovy, there are, to me, as far as I know, two main types of authority. One is groovy and one is not so much. And I would say government authority is when somebody says, you must do what I say or else, as in you must come to court or the cop will throw you in a cage next time one of them sees you. But then there's also legitimate authority, like somebody is an authority in their field. Like for me, my crossfader on my mixer, my DJ mixer was bleeding, and so I looked up a video by DJ Qbert, and he gave a suggestion that worked, and I followed it willingly because I consider him an authority on that subject. So there's an authority in a subject, who's somebody who's an expert, and you can follow their thoughts and their suggestions.
I have a segue here. Now, where is DJ Qbert from?
Okay.
Do you know?
I'm not sure.
He is from San Francisco. And we're going to go to the phones now, and we have David from San Francisco on the line, and we're going to talk to David from San Francisco. Yeah, go ahead, David. You're on the air.
Hey, greetings. You know, I just noticed your show. Is this the second week of it?
We've done 2 years streaming on the internet. This is our second week on radio.
Oh, okay. GCN picked you up. Good deal.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know, it's I heard you talking about education and bicycles and a whole bunch of things. Economic education is where I was. That's my leaning. And it's interesting, you were talking about Ayn Rand and her spin on society. I don't know if you all are familiar with the issue of specie economy versus fiat, but I personally think that her scam is based upon people's lack of understanding of the reality of that, and the idea that there's never been enough gold on the planet to take care of all of, to take care of all of the different projects that need to be done to build roads or bridges for hundreds of millions of people, billions of people.
I'm going to let Nima take this one. Go ahead, Nima.
Okay. Well, David, do you buy that argument that there's not enough precious metals, for instance, to have a modern complex economy?
Well, there's never been. Even you go back to Croesus, who created the gold coins of thousands of years ago. He knew even back then that there was never enough, and that you had to have some other kind of valuation system. In fact, during the American Civil War, Abraham Lincoln added silver to the mix. I think they had pulled so much silver out of the gold rush days here in California and Nevada that by adding silver to the treasury, Lincoln increased the value of America by some vast, something like sevenfold or something. And so the idea that, what we're facing with the Federal Reserve, international bankers who dominate our country, he was facing the same thing. And when he came up with the greenback dollars, which were backed by silver, he increased the value of America and basically wrenched control of America away from the domination of the banking interests back then. And so it's interesting that the Confederates were essentially hired by the British to divide America, and essentially the lending of money for the military efforts of the Civil War.
We got about 2 minutes before we go to commercial here, so I'm going to let Nima answer on this. Go ahead, Nima.
Well, for me, it doesn't seem like it makes too much of a difference how many units of a currency are in circulation, because the price of resources, all currency is for is representing how much of it is worth in real resources. And so what happens with gold, there's not enough, or there never will be enough. The price of goods will just go down. You'll have a deflationary period. And that's fine. You know, what we're really talking about is real resources, and all a currency does is give a value to that resource as far as an exchange goes.
And it's you can divide the value of it, and there's other things you can use besides gold, silver. There's other metals, there's other things. And you could set up trade systems where, like, a non-central money where, okay, this company agrees to barter this many units of time for work with this other company or this group of people or this person for their labor. It's just it symbolizes labor. It's not creating worth is finite.
Yeah, but the issue of slavery and subjugation is where the fake numbers come into it. I hear the music coming up. You want to hold over?
Perhaps. Yeah. Well, actually, thank you for your call. We'll go ahead and talk about the slavery issue when we get back.
Thanks, David.
Thanks.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. All right, Freedom Fiends, thank you for staying with us. This is Fiends Live on May 18th, a Saturday. I'm Nima Vedati, and on the other end of the intertubes, we got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Michael?
Michael W. Dean, I'm doing good. And that little piece of music there was called March of the Bulldogs, and I made that. I built that.
Good job. You didn't build that. All right. So to address some of the issues that our last caller, David, brought up, I think he's right in a sense that there can be problems with a specie economy, as he called it, i.e. gold, silver, physical currency made-up currency.
Was he a greenbacker? I don't really know that term, but I think that's it. It's like someone who doesn't want the Federal Reserve, but wants everything to be. I don't know what was he. If you had to put a name on him,
he might have been a greenbacker. He did seem to talk about Lincoln's greenback project in a positive light, as if it were a good thing. And what we say when we mean greenbacker is somebody who, wants to get rid of the Federal Reserve, but then wants to replace it with Congress controlling the fiat currency, which is not a good thing either. So I don't know if that was where he was coming from, but
he can go on the Freedom Fiends chat room at freedomfiends.com if he wants to follow up with us. When we're done with the call, we're not being rude. We're just we got a lot of stuff to do, a lot of people to take calls from, a lot of thoughts to do. We're just moving on. But you can always come into the Freedom Fiends chat room. Go to Freedom Fiends, that's FEENS.com, and then click on the little pink coffee cup that says Fiends chat, and you can come in and yell at us if you want. But here's what I'm thinking is, why have a monopoly of any kind? Why not have any kind of currency that's valid that the market will bear, like marijuana-backed currencies or oil-backed currencies or land-backed currencies? Why can't people
or bit-backed currencies?
Yeah, Bitcoin-backed.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, why is it considered treason if you make money? If really, it's like you're contributing to the economy. Right. That was one of the things that I really did like about Atlas Shrugged Part 2. Was it really? And this is straight from the book, according to DJ, and it's very prescient that it was written in the 40s or whenever it was. in there, the economy gets a lot worse than it is now, to where like gas is like $45 a gallon, you know, 50% unemployment or more. The president, who actually is called the head of state in there, he's not called the president, goes on TV and says there's a new law, and it's called the Fair Share Law.
The Fair Share Act or something like that.
Which is kind of funny, because that liberal who interviewed me or argued with me on the internet on radio the other day, and you can go to Freedom Fiends and scroll down a couple and listen to the interview I did on a liberal.
It's a big phrase for those folks.
Yeah, he used that about every third sentence. He used the word, what is it, fair choice?
Fair share.
So the Fair Share Law that the president passes basically says no one can quit their job, no one can be promoted, no one can get a raise, every price is fixed, you can't raise or lower the price of anything, everyone has to spend as much as they made as they spent last year, and every company has to produce as much as they produced last year. Like, Uber price controls that went beyond what Nixon did. I mean, just really locking everything down until there's no market. And that doesn't help things. That makes things worse in every case.
No, and that's called the price calculation problem, and that's basically why the Soviet economy collapsed. And Ludwig von Mises basically did a lot of work about why socialism fails, and that was the central point, is that when you have a centrally planned economy, nobody knows what the real price of a good is, and it's no different than currency. People try to give currency some kind of special status, but currency is a good just like any other good. It does have special characteristics, but if a government controls the valuation of it, then yes, you can run into a situation where you don't have enough of it or you have too much of it, but that's only because the government is erecting barriers to where the valuation of the currency moves. If they take a hands-off approach and people can trade in whatever they want and there's no currency laws to the effect of legal tender laws or anything like that, or bimetallism, which the government had when they introduced silver. The price of silver and gold were tied together in a sense. A coupling, I think Kyle Bennett would call it. You know, you couple those two together so they can't really move. If there's a problem with one, then there's a problem with the other. And so when the government erects these barriers, you have a price calculation problem. And when you have a price calculation problem with the currency, which is one half of pretty much every transaction, then you can have your whole economy crash. You have that problem spread out amongst everybody who trades in society.
And speaking of central planning and the Soviets, you know, in the Soviet Union, they used the psychiatric system a lot to silence dissidents, you know, people like us, people who complain and people who point out the fact that central planning is, you know, economically suicidal and ruins everything. I knew that, and I know that the United States is stepping up their psychiatric things with the DSM-5 to where, like, a lot more people are defined as having mental problems, to the point of, like, if you drink a lot of coffee, that's a mental problem. And Obamacare is going to be controlled by the head of Obamacare from the IRS is the person who was targeting Tea Party groups for extra scrutiny. So it's all kind of connected. We don't call it the military-industrial complex anymore. It's just the complex. And they're going to use psychiatric things like you drink too much coffee to take your guns away. So it's getting more and more Soviet, but I just wanted to interject something about the Soviet system. The reason they didn't just throw people in mental hospitals like they do now, they had a reason. And the reason was if you denounced communism or denounced the Soviet Union, you had to be mentally ill. And in a way, it's more honest that they came out and said that they believed that. You know, it's kind of like, in a way that a mugger is more honest, and what America is doing is kind of more sneaky, kind of more like the Soviets were. And I'm not saying the Soviet system is better. I'm just trying to do some hyperbole here to make a modest proposal point. The Soviets were more like a mugger who holds a knife to your throat. The American system now is more like your roommate who steals your weed and then helps you look for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Great analogy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the American system is almost the Soviet system with better PR. They have the people more convinced, I feel like.
I don't know though, man. I think there's more
Soviet Union that
I think there's more people noticing that things are wrong now. Even people, everything from, you know, anarcho-capitalists to libertarians to Tea Party people to Occupy Wall Street
progressives,
people, to progressives.
Occupy,
everybody thinks something's wrong. But the thing is, everybody who thinks the system can be fixed is wrong. The system is inherently broken, and you need just voluntary interactions between humans rather than any kind of central planning tweak in one direction or another. So what was the Soviet saying you were going to say?
Well, I think there was an old saying, the workers would say something to the effect of, they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, there's a famous guy who grew up in the Soviet Union, Yuri Maltsev. He's an economist. I think he works with Mises.org now. And he, when he talks about his time in the Soviet Union, he would say things like, you know, the other big difference is nobody in the Soviet Union believed what was said in Pravda. They all knew it was state-run propaganda. They laughed at it. You know, if it said, if the Pravda, even with the weather, if the Pravda said it was going to rain tomorrow, nobody brought umbrellas with them the next day to work because they were like, ah, it's the Pravda, man. It's completely wrong. Whereas here in America, people still turn to MSNBC or CNN or Fox, whatever their flavor of statism is, they still turn to it and they still buy that. People who think they're well informed say things to the effect of, oh, well, I'm a CNN junkie. You know, I'm a news junkie.
The really ironic,
I'm a propaganda junkie.
The really ironic thing there is Pravda is still around. It's online. And you can actually find more breaking news that's true about tyranny in America in Pravda than you can in MSNBC or Fox. Or, Fox gets it right 25% of the time. MSNBC gets it right about 10% of the time, but the rest of it is just propaganda, man. It's just, we need to finance the complex. We need to scare the heck out of you until you're I don't care if they search my internet and my phones. I got nothing to hide. If it helps stop terrorists, you know, and the thing is, like, a lot of the terrorism wouldn't exist without America having occupying empire-like armies over in, you know, I'm not against military protection. I'm not against having some kind of protection. And we could talk about that at length at some time. But I am against the idea of having our people, our kids over there acting like the police of the world, bullying people on their property in 157 countries. There's only about 180 countries in the world, and there's 157 where we have a military presence. And I don't think it's unpatriotic to say that's a bad thing.
That fluctuates, you know? And that's kind of unknown, the exact number. Some people think it's 170 out of something like 192 countries, and there's different definitions of what constitutes a military presence or a base. But I think you're right, and I don't like to blame America. I don't want to be a blamer of America, but I think we can blame parts of Washington, D.C. We can blame Paul Wolfowitz. We can blame George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld. You can blame the people who called the shots.
Yeah.
You know, the average Joe doesn't call those shots. Liberals and progressives like to say, we are the government. But that's a lie. We didn't call, the average person didn't call those shots. The average person probably doesn't even know where Iraq is on a map
and that's
to
that,
call the shot if he wanted to.
That collectivism, I mean, it's worldwide. You know, it's everything from people going, yeah, bomb the Middle East back to the Stone Age to, you know, when I was traveling in Europe in about 2004, showing my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, people would see me speaking English and know I was American and start yelling at me for George Bush's policies. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm the guy traveling in third class on the train with a backpack. I am not the guy who determines the policy in the Middle East. And and that thing is also true in, and this is an extension of the empire building, of a lot of the people in Gitmo have been determined innocent and are not being allowed to leave, and they're being waterboarded with insurance, force fed because they're on a hunger strike. And you know, a lot of those people are there because their neighbor was jealous because they had more wives or more goats or whatever. They had some neighbor beef because, you know, like people have here with their neighbors. And instead of talking to them like a decent neighbor would, or calling the police like an American would, they called the CIA and said, yes, he is a terrorist. He wants to blow up your country that I don't know the name of and don't know the name of the president of, but he said he wants to hurt you. You know, a lot of those people think they're dealing with the Russians still. They see occupying armies in Afghanistan. They don't even know what country it is. They see modern warriors and they think it's the Russians coming back.
Yeah, yeah, they really do. And it's really sad. And back to the Guantanamo point, Obama plays like his hands are tied and like Congress is preventing him from sending those people home. But that's a lie. In the authorization for it, there's a national security out where he actually has the power to bypass Congress and just let people go in Guantanamo who have been cleared for release. How scary is that? How Kafkaesque that the government says, well, you're not guilty of anything. You're free to go, but we can't let you go. You know, you have to stay in here until, I guess, until we feel like it.
Yeah. Fiends.
Yeah. So, Freedom
Fiends.
Fiends. Yes, and you are free to go, and we are free to go to the market, but I know you will come back, so stay with us. We're going to have lots more great stuff, including a nice discussion of smuggling here on Freedom Fiends Live.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, not your dad's talk radio. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Worms.
All right, and we're back on Freedom Fiends Live. It is Saturday, May 18th. I am Nima Vidotti, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas. On the other end, we have Michael W. Dean. How you doing, man?
I am good. I am good here, broadcasting live and worldwide from my windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in rural Wyoming.
But you have webcams outside, so you can still watch the squirrels be merry.
Yeah, the squirrels are quite merry. And we are the Freedom Fiends. We've been called overarching libertarians. And that's my new thing. When people ask, what's your politics? I'm going to say, I'm an overarching libertarian, which basically just means uncompromising. But it sounds evil or something, or like really sinister about it, like mean.
I think it sounds beautiful. I envision like the arches in Utah, like some giant natural structure full of libertarian principles that is constantly over me, reminding me of the value of the market and the disgustingness of the state.
Yeah, we did use a picture of downtown Ogden, Utah, and rebranded all the stores with what we think would be there in a libertarian paradise, if anyone wants to look at that. And one of the favorite things that I liked on it was the shouting room, the Scott Horton and what's his name? Alec Guinness? Alec Baldwin?
Adam Kokesh.
Shouting room, which would be a place where libertarian talkers who tend to get kind of feisty would get together and have rap battles like in 8 Mile to see who could out-yell each other.
Pod beef battles. Yeah, grab that mic and control it. Control it well. Yeah, exactly. That's how you do it.
So I want to talk again. We've mentioned this before, but I wanted to come back to it because we don't just like to give a tyranny today and then pretend that there's no more tyranny, because most tyrannies that start are ongoing. And one is the New York State law, the new thing where they offer $500 to turn in your neighbor for the new anti-gun law. Like, basically, there are people in the state I grew up in, New York State, going to prison for something I could do in my town that I'm doing right now, which is owning a gun that has more than 7 rounds in the mag. And I've got several in this room. I think one has 13. But, you know, you're so hard, you carry two in the chamber. That's one of your rap lines. I'm so hard, I carry two in the chamber, which isn't really possible with a conventional firearm. But New York State is offering people, quote unquote, $500 to turn in their neighbors for having normal capacity magazines for their guns. Now, I did the math on this. It's interesting because that is $500 currently is literally the value of 30 pieces of silver. And that's what Jesus was sold out for. So New York State, if you know, how can you be religious and believe in your state when your state is offering people the price that Jesus was sold out for to sell out your neighbors? And I base this math on the fact that many biblical scholars or many scholars believe that the pieces of silver that Judas was paid were trian shekels, which were 1/2 troy ounce of silver each. So 30 pieces of silver is 15 troy ounces. The current price of silver, give or take, depending on the time of day, about $29 per troy ounce. 29 times 15 is $435. Now, when the state pays you money in New York or anywhere, but especially in New York, any state that has an income tax, and New York's, I figured out with the income tax on the income the state would pay you on this $435 worth of silver would be $500. So you are literally turning in your neighbors for 30 pieces of silver when you do this in New York State. And it was
You were at the time you did the math. Silver's actually taken a dive. It's down to $22 per ounce. So go buy your silver now and buy in the dips. Sell in the highs if you want to. I don't sell at all.
Buy from Midas Resources. Midas Resources are good. It's a good place. Man, 30 pieces of silver for turning in your neighbor. I think it's very dishonest and very evil. And that's the kind of thing the state does. And people get upset when you say bad things about the state. You know, they defend the state like they're defending their family. I find that really distasteful, especially when the state does things like this. Like, not only do they steal your money and throw people in prison for things that aren't a crime, like having a normal gun with a normal capacity magazine, they pay you to turn in your neighbors. It's just evil, man. It's just evil.
It's really sad. And we will be back. We're going to do some market things, some good things, the opposite of evil. And then we'll be back with more fiends live.
More fiends.
Read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Welcome, one and all. It is Freedom Fiends Live, the Saturday Fiends Live show. It is May 18th. This is Hour 2. I am Nima Vidotti, and over there we've got Michael W. Dean.
Worms.
Yes, that was my prepositional emphasis. All right. So I kind of wanted to get into a discussion of smuggling. And the first point The point I want to make is when states erect barriers to trade, clever entrepreneurs will actually provide service, and we thank them for their service. They will provide service to people who want goods that the government says, nuh-uh, you can't have that. And a perfect and hilarious example is Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, you may be going, what? But you might remember a South Park episode a little while back where Kentucky Fried Chicken and fast food joints were outlawed. And so Cartman becomes a KFC runner for a big KFC cartel. At the same time, marijuana becomes legal and Stan's dad becomes a pothead. Now, there's sort of a real life situation that's kind of like this. In Palestine, in Gaza, according to CBS, there has started a smuggling ring where people will actually bring KFC from Egypt through tunnels into the Gaza Strip to provide that tasty, tasty kernels to all the folks of Gaza over there. So I think I'm going to read a little bit of this for you. Is that okay?
Yeah. And you got to remember, too, I did mention about the comments on this. Somebody said, if I were the head of the U.S. Air Force, that chicken would be extra crispy, meaning we should bomb them. Now, what kind of Christian or statist would say that? Because you're saying you want to bomb the Holy Land, and The state started in Palestine. The first organized government was in Palestine. So if you love the state as much as that guy seems to, he should love Palestine. But go on. I digress. Go on.
So according to CBS, and this is interesting, it's CBS out of Cleveland. The byline is, oh, well, I don't see the byline, so I'm just going to go ahead and read. Headline is buckets of KFC chicken smuggled through tunnel in Gaza Strip for $30. So a little bit pricier, but hey, if you want that kernel, you can get it. So a new company has emerged in the Middle East that smuggles fast food from an Egyptian Kentucky Fried Chicken to Gaza residents through a tunnel. People in the conflicted region can now satisfy cravings for food from the Louisville-based fast food headquarters by ordering through a company that charges the American equivalent of $30 for smugglers to bring the greasy goods from Al Arish in Egypt to the doorsteps of hungry customers. And there's some great MOS quotes here. One Gaza resident, Rafat Shororo, says, "It has been a dream, and this company has made my dream come true." Now, just think about that. People are people everywhere, right? And there are simple desires we have. And, you know, some people really want a piece of chicken, and they really want it from KFC. And they don't really care about what the state barriers are. They don't really care about foreign policy, American foreign policy, or anything like that. All they know is they want their chicken. And so all somebody knows, you know, some entrepreneur knows is, hey, people will pay for this chicken. And they'll do it. They'll make those dreams come true.
And states look at smugglers like this as, oh, you're against our state because you're doing something that goes through a loophole, which, you know, we say loopholes are the tunnels through which freedom passes. And in this case, it's really true.
Yeah.
And a thing to notice, too, it's really horrible to be a statist who believes America is the greatest country in the world and say you want to bomb these people for eating these chickens, this chicken, this American chicken, because it is a fact that the Berlin Wall didn't fall because Reagan yelled at it. It was already figuratively crumbling. And the real thing that brought down communism more than anything else was Western influence, was people smuggling blue jeans into the Soviet Union and smuggling ninth generation cassette copies of Bruce Springsteen tapes. It was Western influence and people going, wait, they have things there that we want. And the people got an eye for the market and a taste for the market. And why can't that be Kentucky Fried Chicken?
You're right. It is in the nature of humanity to want to trade with others to make your own life richer, to get the things you want that don't grow in your area. And there's this great article on freemansperspective.com that's almost sort of a companion piece to this story. There's no relation, but it just fits perfectly. It's by a guy named Paul Rosenberg, who I think you've actually tried to interview before. But he writes that, you know, smuggling has been one of the most common economic activities of all time, yet it is all but absent from the historical record. And of course, that's because, you know, history is written by the victors and history is written and commissioned by statists. So they probably leave a lot of the smuggling out. But there's fossil records, archaeological records from like 7,000 BC, before Egypt had the pyramids or anything like that.
They already had Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No, but they traded obsidian thousands and thousands of miles all across that part of Central Asia. And it's because people wanted it. So traders would take it up to other people and trade goods for whatever they had. And there's always been restricted items. You know, it might not have been chicken or crossing this border or that border. It might have been you can't sell salt here as a citizen. Only the government controls the salt trade. Or tea. You can't sell tea to one another. Only the government has the monopoly on tea. But even when the state erects those barriers, people find a way. And people who want the good will just get it elsewhere in the gray or the black market. And that is the essence of freedom, is people cooperating with one another, regardless of some statist saying, oh, well, you can't do that. Well, watch me, you know, is basically how it ends up. And this goes back to last week, that when you ban things, it does no good. It erects some barriers and makes things harder. It might push them into a black market, but it doesn't eliminate the trade of people getting those goods, whether it's salt, tea, guns, or weed.
I did do an interview with Paul Rosenberg. I just posted the link in the chat room. And if you're listening to this later, you can go to kittyfeet.com. It's like the feet of a cat, kittyfeet.com, my gumbo podcast. It's an interview show that I do, not a radio show. It's a podcast, but I like to interview lots of different types of people there. Like Paul Rosenberg is a internet security expert, and I interviewed, Dick Dale, who basically invented loud guitar, and I interviewed Cody Wilson, who invented loud printable guns. And his printable guns are pretty loud, man. It's weird. I was thinking the other day, like, I not only, I've talked to him. I kind of know him. I haven't met him in person, but I not only have never known anybody who came up with something in his bedroom and 9 months later Congress was trying to outlaw it. Like, I don't even know of anyone that's happened with. Do you? I mean, I can't think of a time in history. It's almost as groundbreaking as if someone invented a perpetual motion machine and published the blueprints on the internet. And I'm also thinking about how square it is that the government's trying to block his printable gun designs, because he named it after the Liberator, which was a gun that the United States made, a simple one-shot pistol that they dropped into enemy territory during World War II to give the citizens a chance to walk up to the Nazis and cap them in the back of the head and take their rifle and have a better gun. It was basically a gun for liberating a better gun, for liberating a rifle. And Popular Mechanics, right after World War II, did an article about that gun and published the blueprints for it, like published an exploded view of it, like told you how it was made. And the people who read Popular Mechanics, some of them could just walk into their garage and make something from a blueprint like that. So why wasn't that a problem then, and why is it a problem now to have – I guess it's because you don't have to have the knowledge. You just press a button and it prints a gun. But I think it's more than that. I think that now if you published the blueprints for how to make a gun and said, this is interesting, in a hobbyist magazine like Popular Mechanics, I think the government – I don't know, man. They've just gotten a lot more up in our stuff. You know, I don't like anyone up in my stuff, and they're up in our stuff, man. And I'm feeling probed even just sitting here in my home.
Well, it's interesting since we're speaking about smuggling in the modern information economy, smuggling can be done without leaving your desk or your bed. If you've got a laptop, that's basically what this is the government has basically said these kind of printable guns are verboten or they're forbidden. You can't talk about them. You can't have them. You can't see the information or the blueprints.
The department of the government that is going after Cody is basically the part of the Department of Defense that deals with gun running, with gun smuggling. It's also very close to the part of the government that does the gun smuggling, you know, the the arming of the insurgents of whoever is the good guy this week. Like, you know, how they armed the Afghanis to fight the Soviets in...
Or how they're arming the suicide bomber brigades in Syria.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're doing that. Arming them in Syria, the same people, a lot of the same people just came over from Iraq. Some of the people Americans were supposedly fighting in Iraq just crossed the border, and then all of a sudden we give them weapons and money. where's the logic in that?
Even not
from
we.
A status point of view.
Not we. Wasn't
them.
Me. Wasn't
them.
Me, man.
You're right.
It was them.
Wasn't you. Wasn't me. It was them.
Yeah, the government can do all sorts of things that we can't do. So it doesn't really make sense to call them we. Example is, I was reading the other day about plutonium. Plutonium that's used in nuclear reactors and in bombs and things like that. First of all, 15 grams of it can be legally transported on a commercial airline. So when you're taking a plane, there could be enough nuclear material on there to kill like a city or more if it got out. So think about that when they're taking away your toothpaste when you're getting onto a plane. And the second thing is plutonium... left alone by itself, pure plutonium tends to catch fire. If it reacts with any moisture in the air, it catches fire and it releases highly toxic, highly radioactive gas into the atmosphere. And places that deal with it, labs and nuclear power plants and nuclear bomb plants, keep this stuff on hand to put out the fires, because you can't put it out with a conventional fire extinguisher. They have to use magnesium sand and shovel it onto it. So. Okay. The thing is, these fires are a lot more common than you'd think, and most of the time when they happen, the government does not tell people that their air has radiation, high levels of radiation in it. That has happened time and time again. And I'm thinking, like, this is the same government that, you know, if you made a little homemade bottle rocket in your backyard and set it off safely, like, now they would kick in your door and say you're a terrorist and take it away from you. But those same people can accidentally release highly toxic for millions of years plutonium into your environs and just go, oops, and not even tell you, you know?
Right.
Not even
right.
tell you and to you where, like, putting a mask on might help you. You know, they don't even tell
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and you mentioned the root of the problem earlier, that they can do things that it's not okay if we've done. And that's really the root or the of the state, is the thought that this group of people that we call the government or we call the state, whichever you call it, are somehow immune from normal morality, somehow have some kind of special category where they can get away with things that if your neighbor did, you would say, nuh-uh, you can't do that. And so people give them a pass.
So basically they do violence all day long. What if you went onto Facebook, onto politicians' Facebook pages and clicked the report this button and then wrote that they're being violent or how they're being violent?
they're I'm not threatening
saying,
violence.
I'm not saying do that, but, you know, that'd be fair. Wouldn't that be fair?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right, Fiend fans, we are back. I am Nima Vidati representing that ATX, and we've got Michael W. Dean out there in the great rural west of Wyoming. How you doing, Michael?
I am really good and really happy, and we are broadcasting from 50,000 watts of tyranny melting power.
Excellent. Straight to the ear holes of freedom lovers up in the north and other rural parts.
Freedom fiends are the glowworms in the darkness of tyranny.
Yes, we love that imagery because like worms that. Is one of our things. If you want to know why we use the term worms or anything else we've said that you go, what are they talking about? Just go to freedomfiends.com and click on the glossary link, and you can go through the whole canon of our coinage of new phrases.
Yes. You know, William Shakespeare coined about 10% of the words that he used and phrases that he used. A lot of them are still in use today, including the phrase to coin a phrase. He coined that.
It's a really good way of putting it because you put it into circulation and people use it with other people and it sticks or it doesn't. You know, there are probably plenty of failed coinage of words that are no longer used. But then again, the ones that stick, the ones that are useful are still in use today.
Wiggity wiggity woo.
That's not going to be one of them that sticks. Sorry.
Box fresh, what ho?
Box
that
fresh.
Could, that
yes.
could stick. Yes. Have any guns today, Governor? All right, I'll just take that from you.
Yes, yes.
Have any guns? So you were talking about how Terminator 2 is the best movie ever made. And
best action movie ever
well,
made.
Well, in a way, it's the best popcorn movie ever made, too, because it's kind of got all the components of the hero's journey really well-defined, and it has action, it has sorrow, it has joy, it has people learning lessons, it has friends become enemies, enemies become friends, and everyone's a little richer for the experience. And it has someone sacrificing himself for the greater good, which is the definition of a hero. And there were some things that we didn't mention in it, though. I wanted to talk more about Miles Dyson, the scientist who invents the technology. And we talked about how there's two great man fallacies in that. And the great man fallacy is this belief that a lot of people have. The great man theory is not a derogatory term. It's a term that people who like the great man theory use to describe the idea of a great hero or a great villain saving the world. And people who believe in the great man theory tend to put all of their eggs in one basket. And we saw that happen with Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Best politician ever, but he's still a politician. And he's infallible. I mean, he's done some things that we didn't like, but overall, we like him as a philosopher, but not as a pinnacle or a leader, because we don't believe leaders are necessary for free men or free women. And that's the problem, is people kind of put everything on one person or, you know, one villain. Like, Hitler was a horrible man, but the people say if someone went back and killed Hitler, maybe it would have changed things, maybe it wouldn't have. I mean, there was kind of the collective unconsciousness, or the state, which is different from the government, of everyone saying, yeah, this is the way to go. Maybe they just would have put his second in charge, you know, maybe killing the head of the beast wouldn't have done it, because the beast was collective and it was collectivized. And something people never rarely remember that they should is that Hitler was democratically elected. So I think that right there is a great denouncement of the idea of democracy as something ethical, because, you know, if 51% of the people say Hitler should run things, does that make it right?
Well, the other thing is, you know, I don't subscribe to the great man theory, and I think if the Terminator went back in time and killed Mark Zuckerberg, we would still have some kind of social network. It would be like FaceSpace or something else. We would still have something like that, you know?
Yeah. Business people especially like a great man. And in a way, it can also be the not the great man theory, but just the, well, that's an individual who did it really well on his own kind of idea. I don't like Mark Zuckerberg because he's so in bed with the government. You know, basically, there's an Onion News video that's a joke piece, but it's from about 4 years ago it's about Facebook being a CIA product. And it's kind of come to pass to where, like, you know, you've got that report this button on there. And I was saying, you know, kind of as a joke, wouldn't it be funny if people went onto the Facebook pages of politicians who do use force and do use aggression and do use violence and click the report button and said, hey, man, this Obama is over in other countries blowing up children at wedding parties who have nothing to do with what's going on. I mean, and he may do it again. So you'd be reporting someone for future violence. You know, it could be done with any politician. I mean, politicians, by definition, use aggression because, you know, I mean, everything about them. Explain why that is. It's aggression, even if they're not blowing people up.
Obama is an imminent threat to human life, and if it weren't him, it would be whoever else got elected. You know, it'd be John McCain or anybody else, however the counterfactual gets put. As long as there's a state in place, they have a monopoly of violence. And of course, if they have it, they're going to use it. And we'll be back with more on that point after we go to the market.
We'll be back with more Miles Dyson after the market.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
All right, folks, we are back. This is Freedom Fiends live for Saturday, May 18th. I'm Nima Vidotti. We also have Michael W. Dean, and he also made that juicy metal cut you just heard bringing us back.
That was kind of funky metal, but that was my band Slish Dave Immergluck, who's now in the Counting Crows, or the Counting Sheep, as I call them. But he's the guy who came up with the term worms instead of saying word. He said worms.
Well, juicy leads to funk, because if you got too much juice around something, give it a little bit of time and it'll be funky. Funky.
Yeah. Rancid funk, rancid juiciness. So, we were talking about Terminator 2 and how it's the greatest popcorn movie ever made. And Miles Dyson. So Miles Dyson exhibits a problem that, So basically a lot of futurists who are statists, and there are a lot of statist futurists. Actually, Ben Stone debunked one quite well the other day. He did a Shut Up, Becky episode. Shut Up, Becky is a Simpsons saying. It's what Marge wishes she thought to say to Becky, and she thinks of it later. So Shut Up, Becky is our saying for what you wish you'd said to somebody. And I wish I'd said some things to this statist liberal state humper when I talked to him. And But I forgot. I didn't think of these things until later. So, but part of it was just that he would ask three questions. I'd answer one, mm-hmm. and then he'd ask three more and interrupt me. So, but Ben Stone is going to give that same treatment he gave to that futurist. On Monday, he's going to dissect that interview I did with the guy and not say what I should have said, but talk about why the other guy's wrong. Because Ben always thinks I'm right, because basically I just follow at Ben's feet because he's a great man. I'm kidding. Mm. But he is smart, and I've learned a lot from Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. So
he's your Liberty sponsor is the best way I've heard you put
it. I call him up in the middle of the night and say, Ben, I'm going to vote. Talk me out of it. So there's a problem with a lot of futurists, a lot of really smart, genius-level scientists who are building the future and predicting the future. They also really fall into this thing of, instead of realizing that technology could replace the need for the state, and it's already partway there, it really could, they're trying to do things like get smarter scientists to be the state. I mean, a lot of scientists, I really believe, think you should get rid of the president and Congress and replace them with a UN contingency of the world's greatest scientists. Now, the problem with that is scientists that are really smart at one thing are usually really dumb at other things and think they're really smart at everything. Now, Miles Dyson is what happens when you let the scientists run everything, okay? He's like, I'm just doing my job. I have a good job, and I'm smart, and they appreciate my intelligence here, and I go to work, and I provide for my wife and my kid, and I have a good health plan. And, you know, you think about it, it's like the guy who's going to destroy the world isn't some mad scientist working in his basement. It's the guy next to you on the 101 driving into Silicon Valley, commuting, you know, and and he doesn't even know it because he's part of the complex, which was formerly the military-industrial complex, but now has broadened into so many other things like healthcare and education. And Obama wants to start education at age three now. He wants to have universal preschool because I guess indoctrinating people to the state at five isn't good enough because you can undo that. But I guess they think if you get them at three, you know, basically I would call that corrupting the morals of a minor, but they call it, you know, education. Right. I think that should be a crime. But so you have scientists like Miles Dyson, who's a decent guy. He loves his wife. He loves his kid. He's a good, hard worker. He's brilliant. And he's there building this system that's going to destroy the world and doesn't even know it. That's the problem, I think, with a lot of futurists. Now, you were talking about this thing called Zeitgeist. What is the Zeitgeist movement, and why do people call that libertarian? There's nothing libertarian about it, really.
I don't know why they do, but, well, some Zeitgeist people will say, well, we don't propose the state as a solution. But if you look at what they do propose as a solution, I don't really see how it's different from our concept of the state, i.e., it's centrally planned, and they expect a group of scientists or really smart people or computers to figure out what the resources are in order to eradicate scarcity. And
isn't that basically the plot of Terminator 2? They put flying robots in charge of everything, and they end up turning on the people.
Yeah. Well, to me, I don't even think it has to go that far to fail. I think the failure is in the concept that somebody or something can know everything about the whole world. The whole world is too unique. You can't know what one person is thinking, let alone what 6 billion or 7 billion people are thinking.
The CIA is working on trying to know what 7 billion people are thinking.
Well, you also can't know where all the resources are, and you can't know what new resources can come about or what new thing can be turned into a resource. You know, the peak oil thing, people were talking about peak oil in the 1900s. You know, pretty much as soon as oil was used industrially, people were saying, well, we're going to run out of this in the next 10 years.
And the funny thing about oil is when it was first discovered – well, not discovered. I mean, it's been oozing out of the ground since people have been around or before, but – in the 1800s, if you were drilling for water on your ranch and you hit oil, it was a bad thing. Yeah. You were like, oh, no, I'm trying to get water here for myself and my crops and my animals. And I hit this poisonous gunk coming up. Oh, what bad luck I've had until someone figured. And that just goes back to what you said about people can't predict in the future what will be a usable resource.
Exactly. Well, people couldn't predict in the 80s or 90s that you could get oil out of shale in a economically viable manner. And now all of a sudden it's this huge boom. And people are saying, well, now we can get enough oil. We might have more usable oil deposits than Saudi Arabia even. And so you can't predict
North Dakota might have more usable oil than Saudi Arabia.
Right. And so the Zeitgeist people, they try to say, and I'm reading directly from the wiki page on this, on their part three, they call it Project Earth. And what they want is to imagine an exact copy of the Earth somewhere in space.
Imagine.
Conduct a survey of the planet, assess the resort types, locations, quantities to satisfy human demands, localize the distribution, place an emphasis on recycling, and basically do all these central planning type things. And they think for some reason that their central planning will be superior to the Soviet central planning or the American central planning or any of the people that have tried to do this in the past. There's no principal difference. They're just saying all they're basically saying is we can do it smarter. We can do the state smarter is what it sounds like to me.
That is so square, man. Central planning is square. Anybody, you know what really blows me away is the number of young people who think they're really hip, who love the state, love a great man, love Obama, or even love Bush, or love any politician, or love the state, or say things like, what people need to do, which sometimes they don't even realize means we need to write laws and then have cops point guns at people's heads to enforce these laws. That's so square, man. It's not
hip.
It is.
And you're right that they say that. But when I was mentioning the problem I had with that kind of thinking to you, what I was really talking about is when people say what they need to do. And when they say they, I don't think they mean the average Joe. I think they mean
the smart
the powers
guys,
that be.
The scientists.
They say, well, they need to decide who gets to have babies, or they need to just kill all stupid people. I've actually heard from a statist, you know? And when you do that, when you put the powers that be, you're ignoring the fact that they're just fallible humans who are concerned with nothing but their own self-interest. There is no real concept of public or national good amongst the people that call the shots. All they really care about is getting promoted, getting a bigger car, getting a bigger office, and having more people answer to them. That's all they care about. That's why the Libya war happened, was people in the State Department thought, well, you know, I could have a lot more power. I'm sick of doing all these silly charity functions and dinners with campaign donors. I want to go to war. I want to be remembered by history. And because of that, they go and bomb Libya, you know?
I'm really disgusted how young people today are so pro-war or just don't care. I was watching this thing the other day, and, you know, I'm not a pacifist. I mean, I have a gun on me right now. I mean, yep. I guess I would only use it in self-defense, but I'm not a hippie. I'm not peace and love. You know, oh, if someone aggresses on me, I'll just tell them why that's bad and it's bad karma. No, I will shoot to kill if you come at me with a knife and you're serious about trying to kill me. I mean, I am a gun-toting, peace-loving guy, but I don't like the idea of a bunch of people getting together and going and destroying another region for any end. I mean, if there's someone there who's bad, who's trying to kill you, send a SEAL Team 6 over. Get that guy. Get those guys. Don't blow them back to the Stone Age like the average person wants to do. I was watching this science show the other day that has these young, hip, good-looking people. It's kind of weird. They talk to each other over Skype on video, and you can see three frames of people talking, you know, three up on the screen, of them discussing these things. And they were talking about changing the weather and the scientific principles behind, you know, like seeding clouds and things like that, and also being able to stop rain, like supposedly the Chinese claim they did during the Olympics. I think it just didn't rain and they took credit for it. But, you know, they were talking about this, and they were talking about how in the Vietnam War, the American Army or Air Force did this thing called Operation Popeye, which was seeding the clouds day after day, year after year, to keep it raining longer, keep the monsoon season going, to, you know, harm the Viet Cong. And they called it, the guy was laughing about Operation Popeye. What is that? Where they drop spinach? And I'm like, no, it's where they killed a bunch of innocent kids and children and women and people who had nothing to do with it, man, just farmers.
Yeah.
And it just really disgusted me to see this young hip person who thinks they know it all, who's really cute and has a TV show going, yeah, oh, isn't that where they drop spinach? You know, making a joke of murdering children, basically. And
there are still kids born with birth defects from Agent Orange. The fourth generation now has been confirmed recently in the past month or so of a kid who's still diseased from Agent Orange. There's going to be depleted uranium has a half-life of 4 billion years, like the age of the planet. And when the shock and awe campaign happened, there was a lot of those rounds used in Iraq. That region is going to have that environmental problem for 4 billion years.
The thing a lot of people don't know about depleted uranium, okay, it's used in bullets for armor piercing because it's harder than steel. And it's not so much the radioactivity of it. I mean, there is some of that in it. But actually, uranium is a heavy metal like lead and just is poisonous. It's poisonous. Yeah. It's basically like dumping a bunch of mercury onto someone's land, you know, and then saying, okay, keep drinking your water. Have fun with your birth defects. And how sick is it for people to just go, Operation Popeye, that's like dropping spinach. No, man, it's murdering little children for generations, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody who says, oh, well, we should just go over there and do this to them. I mean, those are the same people that sit around and watch Red Dawn and say, and had stroked their guns and say, yeah, if people landed on my property, on my nation, I'd be out shooting them. And I like Red Dawn. And if people landed on my country and started shooting my neighborhood, you know, tried to take it over, I'd be out there with all the deer hunters in Wyoming, you know, fighting like, like you should to defend your own property. But that's all those people were doing. Most of them.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%, man. Focus on yourself and your property. And don't worry. I mean, don't be a scared little kid sending the government to go do your bidding, you know?
Yeah.
Man up. Worry about yourself and your guns and your family and your neighborhood.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Howdy. I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast. The market in free liberty media is overwhelming these days. With such a selection, what would entice a freedom seeker to spend precious time listening to an old bullet-scarred liberty warrior from an age gone by? Would homespun logic and down-to-earth explanations of economics tickle your attention? How about a truly original view of that ugly old dragon, the state? I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. And we have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Freedom
Thank
Fiends.
You so much for staying with us, Fiends.
Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom That's Fiends. Us. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. This is
Worms.
The end of the show, so we're going to do our Fiends Tweakin' Review.
Tweakin' Review. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are we talking about today, Nima?
So I've got a few bullet points here to basically go back on what we talked about during the show. First, government control of the money is the problem. It's not the currency used. It's not whether you use paper or gold or silver. It's the socialist price calculation problem. If a government gold standard is pretty much suffers from the same root problem as a government paper money standard. It's the government erecting the barriers, deciding what the price of the currency is, what the value of the currency is, how people can use the currency. That's what causes the problem. You know, we had a caller say, hey, the problem is with gold and silver is there's not enough of them. Well, that's only true if the government centrally plans and controls the price of it. If the prices and the valuation is allowed to fluctuate with real resources, then it will just go up and down based on the current projects, current capital goods, and current resources in the economy.
Yeah.
All right. So next up we have don't put all your eggs in one person. That's not a fertility clinic kind of thing. That's the great man theory debunked. We did do that. So basically, you know, Miles Dyson, if he gets killed, somebody else is going to pick up the work. This works for good people and bad people, villains and heroes. And if John Galt doesn't push the society to freedom, somebody else will. If people want something, they will get it. And some clever person will figure out a way to provide that.
True that.
Corollary to that, smuggling is a good thing. So if the state isn't letting a good be traded in the white market, it will be traded in the black or the gray market. And so smugglers are those clever people that will provide what the market wants. They would bypass.
I would also add that smuggling is impossible to stop. And one thing we didn't mention this time is that making something illegal makes there be more of it, not less of it, because the price goes up. And there is an economic incentive for people to have a black market of it.
Right. And a good example of banning or the government can't stop smuggling is prisons, right? You can get your heroin, your weed, you can get whatever you want in prison. It'll cost you quite a few cigarettes and maybe your companion, you know, to put it lightly. But you can still get those drugs. So I say, let the Gazans eat chicken. Because if you're going to have
chicken, tear down this chicken wall, tear it down.
Right. If you're going to blockade them, then people will just build tunnels. And like Jay-Z says, they'll get money up under you. All right. And lastly, the Zeitgeist movement, you know, those people out there, they suffer from the same problems as any centrally planned society. They haven't figured out the real root of the source of why things are going wrong. They just think the state should be implemented smarter and that it should start over and we should find out what those resources are so we can centrally plan them right this time. You know, but the problem is the central planning in the first place. No one people, no committee of people, no supercomputer can know, let alone analyze all of the inputs in this not closed system. The human world and Earth is an open system. There are things we don't know about. There are new people born. There are new desires that pop up. So this is not a closed system. So
the market is natural, and any attempt to regulate it is denaturing nature. That's what it comes down to, basically. And
it really does
denaturing nature. Either yourself or voting for people to do it, or even posting on the local newspaper, yes, you should throw those people in prison for having that plant or too many bullets in their gun. You are really square if you do that. And I want to know about all the people, I want to know what's going to happen with all the people who say, I'm law abiding. I'm a law abiding gun owner. People who break laws should be thrown in prison and raped. What's going to happen to those people when their law abiding ethical guns become illegal? Are they still going to think that if their neighbor down the street has a little bit of weed that they should be thrown in prison? You got to really look at that. You got to have the same rules for you as everyone else. And the rules can change. Amen. Of the state. So don't be so quick to like condemn people to being raped in prison, to like violence by proxy. You know, it's square, man. Don't be square.
Don't be square. Yeah, do unto others, man. The golden rule. That's it right there in a nutshell. And thank you so much for joining us on this live Freedom Fiends on Genesis Communications Network. We will see you guys again
tomorrow.
Mañana.
Tomorrow, noon Central Time. Worms. It's been a good Freedom Fiends there, Nima. You had fun? I've had a good,
very much
fun
so.
Freedom Fiend time.
Me too. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you for your service, Nima. Thank you for not
Thank
being
you
square.
For listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.